I learned some interesting facts while Debbie and I were touring Prague, at that time known as the capital of Czechoslovakia, in the summer of 1991. There was change a-blowing in the winds. It was a different time already. Of course, Prague and Czechoslovakia were once part of the Soviet Empire that by that time had begun to, well, in fact, had completely collapsed. As a result, people were sort of still finding their way and figuring out, who are we? Just exactly what is this place, our motherland, our homeland? And we, as we walked the streets of Prague, just fell in love with that city known as the City of Spires. It's just a wonderful, very impressive place. But I remember us winding our way through the downtown section and by the Parliament building and next to it the presidential palace. I remember stopping and looking, and you take it all in and just think, how in the world did they construct something like that? And we stopped a guard who was standing outside the building, and I just happened to ask him. He spoke enough English to answer me. I asked if, by chance, Václav Havel, who was a reformer in the country and president at that time, if he happened to be in this very building we were standing in front of. And he quickly looked, answered yes, and then looked toward a flag that flew over the building, and he answered by saying, whenever the president is in the house, the flag flies. I thought, what a convenient way to know, is he in town or out of town? And then I read words this week that sounded strangely familiar. Joy is the flag that flies over the castle of the Christian heart, announcing that the king is in residence today. Isn't that great? So joy is a hallmark of a relationship with Jesus. In fact, to put it in these words, it's the flag that flies over the Christian heart, the castle of the Christian heart, announcing to all that the king lives within today. Did you know that the song that was sung for us so incredibly by the choral ensemble group, Joy to the World, that very song is more than a sentimental song sung by folks far and wide during the Christmas season. Did you know that? And did you know that, in fact, the words that frame the point of that wonderful song, Joy to the World, are found in the Bible and were, in fact, first spoken by an angel way before they were ever presented in the form of song by any choir? Let me show you what I mean. I'd like you to reach for a Bible, and maybe you brought your own, or if you didn't, reach for one that's in a chair rack near you, and I'd have you turn to the third gospel. They go Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's on page 725. Luke chapter 2 is the very familiar story of those words, joy to the world. This past week, I should tell you as you're turning, I made some fresh discoveries. I, of course, like you do, come back to this story every year. And I did again this year, but this particular year, I made some discoveries about joy and about the good news announced by the angel that I get the privilege of sharing with you this morning. My discoveries point to a single big idea. Before we read this, let me tell you what that is. Great joy is associated with the person of Jesus Christ. Great joy is associated with the person of Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with him. All right? Maybe you're wanting to put that down so you can remember that and hold on to it. Feel free to just turn over the lyric sheet that's part of your bulletin outline. You can just write that down. Great joy is associated with the person of Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with him. Now you're ready for me to read these words. Verse 8 of Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks, and it was nighttime. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, understandably. But the angel said to them, No, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "We've got to go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I want to help you notice some facts that came into focus for me while I was reflecting on this scene. The first fact I would state this way: great joy is God's response to fearful, terrifying times. That's kind of what I gather from verses 9 and 10. The angel came to these shepherds, and in a shocking moment, unlike anything they had ever experienced, they instinctively responded as you and I would, shaking like a leaf. They were quiet, minding their own business, doing the work that shepherds do on a quiet, clear night, when suddenly everything changed. And in an instant, they were told, terrified. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy." Great joy is God's response to fearful times. The days surrounding the arrival of Jesus weren't too different from our own. In fact, pick your problem. Wars, like we have today, they had then. Disease that they had, we also continue to fight and battle. Some pandemics from nation to nation, continent to continent, they're not going away anytime soon. Poverty, another problem of their day which persists in ours. All of those are part of planet life now as they were back in this first century time. And with the daily news, presumably in that day it was mostly word of mouth, almost nothing put to print. It was way before that time. But just like our day, whether you get it from the internet or you get it from television or you get it from the morning newspaper, with the daily news comes a daily fresh dose of fear. We and they lived in a fear culture. You know, I could go on, but you get the depressing point, right? Then, through the announcement of an angel, presumably Gabriel, though it could have been Michael or some other unnamed angel, we're told God is replacing fear with joy. I got to ask you a question. And I don't want you to go back and imagine it in those days. I want you to just imagine today. How do you handle such news? How do you handle such surprising announcements in your life? Of you're minding your own business, you're walking along your own way, and then suddenly something surprisingly hits you broadside, and it's a wonderful surprise. Do you find yourself a little bit pessimistic? Maybe somewhat doubtful, almost disbelieving? Or do you find yourself sort of trying to interpret such words through the filter of what if only? What I mean by if only is you pass proclamations like good news of great joy, you pass that through a filter that says, you know, I can't possibly experience that in my life and could only begin to if only. What do I mean by it? You know your list of if onlys. Maybe for you it's, well, I can't have that kind of good news that brings great joy unless I have more money. If only I have more money, then we can talk that way. Or maybe for you, if I had better health. My health is struggling. I'm not doing well. Or if only I had a better job, then we could start to talk about joy. If only I had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Some of you students might think that way. Or if only I were married, or only if I weren't married. Maybe you think that way. If only I were smarter, or stronger, or I was more talented, or I had more gifting. If only I was a hunk or a babe. I don't know how you finish it. But you say to yourself, you know what? Good news of great joy isn't going to happen to me until this takes place. I have a question for you if you think that way. And I suspect not a few of us think that way. Many of us do. Here's my question. What if those things never come? If you never get healthy? What if you never get married? What if you never get a better job? What if you remain who you are in your present circumstance? What if that? Do you really think? Because if you think that way, do you really think that God has sentenced you to be sad or scared? Because that's the conclusion you have to come to. I announce good news of great joy, but you say, no, not yet. Got to get this piece of my life together. Got to have this going before I can experience what you're talking to me about. Listen to me, great joy. Listen very carefully. Great joy that's being talked about here is not dependent on any of those or any other circumstances that you and I could come up with. It's not dependent on that. Not one of those is mentioned by the angel. I bring you good news of great joy. As soon as you get a job, no. None of that's mentioned. Well, what is mentioned? Well, look back at verse 10. I want you to get so acquainted with verse 10, it goes out of this house with you today. Here's the point. Great joy is connected to good news. Do you see that? They go together in the same sentence, in fact. Good news is the same Greek word for gospel or evangelist. Exact same word. Raising a good question. What is good news? What is the good news, the gospel that these angels were, this angel was so excited about, and that a host of heavenly angels followed with a great anthem of praise? What was it? Let me answer that in the words of Jesus. I scratched at that question. I thought, how would Jesus summarize it? Because he was the source of good news, so naturally he would be the one to turn to explain what is good news. Ready for it? Listen to these words from John chapter 3, another gospel. It's, in fact, the very next gospel. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. I'm explaining what is good news here. So that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But he's not done. Verse 17 goes on to say, God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, listen and think with me. God took action to address the deepest and darkest concern facing humans: sin. And his action was not to condemn sinners. He says so in John 3:17. I did not come to point a finger and go, you blew it, and therefore you're a messed up person. Next. He did not come to do that. That would be, in fact, bad news, wouldn't it? I know I messed up. I do not need a reminder. Okay, so he did not come to do that. His action was to send his son to save sinners, making it good news. And now you've made the correct connection between good news and great joy. He did something for sinners that you and I are powerless to do for ourselves. He came and offered to save us. So says 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He came to earth to save sinners. Now you know good news. And I wouldn't respect myself as a pastor if I didn't ask you this question. Since he came to the world not to judge and condemn sinners, but to save them, I need to ask you, are you saved? There's a point of application here. Have you been saved? It's why he came. It's why. If you haven't, because you thought, you know, Pastor, it's good, makes sense what you're saying, but you know, I sense it works for you and perhaps most others in this room, but you know, you don't know my story, man. I'm the exception to what you just said. Well, if you think that way, you would be right and you would be wrong. You would be right, I don't know your story, but he does. You'd be right there. But you'd be wrong too, for this reason. Great joy, listen now, is offered to all because good news was announced to all. I told you you're going to get to like verse 10. Look back at verse 10. You don't want to miss this. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It will be for all the people. Great joy is not a privilege of a particular few. He didn't say, "I come to bring you good news of great joy for you and you. Sorry for the rest of you." He didn't point to a certain slice of people and say, "The rest of you, you're hosed, you're on your own." He didn't. In fact, the very word, what did he say? Good news of great joy for a few? For who? For who? All, exactly. That's who he came for. You might be asking then, all right, I'm in that all. I'm included. So, is there a catch? Is there a condition? Might even find yourself turning the page wondering, all right, what's the connection? What's the string or the attachment here? I would answer you, if you're asking questions, is there a catch or a condition? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me explain how you can have joy. Great, lasting joy. It's the very point of my Christmas message. Way bigger than that, it's the point of why Jesus Christ came. Remember what we said at the beginning? Great joy is associated with the person of Jesus and a personal relationship with him. In short, listen now, choose Jesus, get joy. That's the title of my talk for a reason. You choose Jesus, and he throws in joy for free. Choose Jesus, you get Jesus, and then you get joy. Joy is a result of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me be very clear. I need then to ask you a question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking, do you know about Jesus? Lots of people can answer that question with a yes and pass that test. But we're going deeper with it. Do you have a real and personal relationship with him? Not do you know about him, but do you have a personal relationship with him? There is a difference, you know. Let me illustrate. I can say that I know someone. And by that I can mean I met them once. And Leo, can I pick on you a minute? Good friend of mine, Leo Vaughn. I can say I know Leo. And by saying that, I can mean I've met Leo, and I can pick him out of a crowd. He's the guy, handsome guy, fur on his face, looks like Santa Claus a little bit. But, okay, I've got a friend. I know Leo. And what I mean by that is I've met him, and I can point him out in a crowd, right? But I couldn't tell you the first thing about Leo's likes and dislikes, his favorite food, his favorite football team, his favorite coffee drink. I may not know any of that when I say, yeah, I know Leo, right? But if I tell you I have a personal relationship with Leo, you would expect me to know not just a little bit about him, but to know particulars, details, personal realities, his birthday, stuff that matters to him, because we're talking about deeper stuff. You see, Jesus, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, listen now, did not come to be a spiritual icon in anyone's life. Jesus is so not seasonal. He is not. He didn't come to have you and I know a few facts about him. He didn't come to have us show up at an annual birthday bash on his behalf. He came for so, so much more. I thought about that. How would I explain that to you? If you gave me a second, how would I tell you? What did he come for? And I thought, you know, no one better to tell that than Jesus himself. So I went to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What did you say about why you came, Jesus? That's kind of the question I took to it. John chapter 10, which is the next gospel, he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came to give you life and abundance. I came to give you a relationship with me, and part of the abundance is this joy we're talking about this morning. That's what I came for. In Luke's gospel, if you were to turn to chapter 19, verse 10, he would say this to you, I came to seek and to save that which was lost, those who were lost. Wow. Do you realize the Bible describes anybody who has not started a relationship with Jesus Christ as lost? That described me. Lost. I came to seek and to save you, Steve. That's how I personalize those words in Luke 19:10. Mark 10:45 is another place, another gospel where Jesus says, I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. He came to have a relationship with you to bring you great joy. So, do you have great joy? I'm not asking about your circumstances right now when I ask that. Some of you have lost loved ones this year. I'm not asking about those circumstances. I'm asking if you have a relationship with the one whose coming was announced as good news of great joy. Don't fall back right now on your if-only list. It will always demand attention and it will never be satisfied. Stop what I'm saying this morning. Stop searching for the stuff of joy and settle your heart on the source of joy. His name is Jesus Christ. And I need to say something to you who have been in churches for a long time. Maybe this is a typical Sunday you come. Maybe you come a lot. But you've never settled on the source of, never put your heart in a faith relationship with the one who is the source of joy. You've just never done that. You've been looking for lots of other things, but never settled on Jesus. It is never too late for you to do so. I want to conclude with a story that really impacted me. It's a story that illustrates this truth in a very memorable way by Tim Hansel, a fantastic author. He says of an 82-year-old man who wrote him not long ago, happened to be this man, 82-year-old man, had been a pastor for 52 of those years, but he is now struggling with skin cancer. In fact, it was so bad that he'd already had some 15 skin operations. Besides suffering, obviously, from the pain of all of that, he was so embarrassed about how the cancer had sort of scarred his appearance, and he just wouldn't even go outside. And then one day this pastor tells that he was given a book written by Tim Hansel called You Gotta Keep Dancing, in which Hansel tells of his long struggle with chronic intense pain from a near-fatal climbing accident. And I remember him describing that. But in that book, I told of the day when I realized, this is Hansel speaking, I realized that the pain would be with me forever. At that moment, I made a pivotal, that means life-changing, decision. I knew that it was up to me to choose how I respond to my pain, so I chose joy. After reading a while, the elderly pastor said he put the book down thinking, this guy's crazy, you can't choose joy. So he gave up on the idea. But then later, as he was reading his Bible, he came across the words that were read earlier by Pastor Brian in our gathering this morning. The words in John 15 that joy is a gift. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my gift of joy. A gift? He thought. He didn't know what to do, so he got down on his knees. Then he didn't know what to say, so he said, well then, Lord, just give it to me. And suddenly, as he described it, this incredible hunk of joy came down from heaven and landed on him. I was overwhelmed, he wrote. It was like the joy that's talked about in the Bible by Peter, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I didn't know what to say, so I said, turn it on, Lord, turn it on. And before he knew it, he was dancing around the house. He felt so joyful that he actually felt born again. And this astonishing change happened at the age of 82. The guy's going to hurt himself if he keeps this up. He just had to get out. So much joy couldn't stay cooped up, so he went out to the local fast food restaurant and ordered a burger. A lady saw how happy he was and asked, how are you doing? Oh, he said, I'm wonderful. Is it your birthday? She asked. No, honey, it's better than that. Your anniversary? Better than that. Well, what is it? She asked excitedly. It's the joy of Jesus. Do you know what I'm talking about? The lady's face fell. She shrugged her shoulders and answered, no, I got to work on Sundays. Incredible to me. When I read that last sentence, I got to work on Sundays. Incredible to me that some would conclude that joy is bound to a certain day of the week or the year. Joy is about a personal relationship with joy's source. His name is Jesus Christ. Have you started such a relationship? Maybe you have, but it needs to be renewed. Jesus, I've lost you in the midst of all that's going on in my life. I've lost you because of the what ifs or if onlys and all that other stuff that I got to come back to you. I invite you to do so this morning. I'd also like to invite you to bow your heads for a moment, if you would, here. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to make a choice today. And the choice would be this, to no longer live content, to know the story of Christmas. I want to appeal to you to refuse to settle for the charm of Christmas. Instead, I appeal to you to insist on the child of Christmas. He is Jesus Christ. And you've heard me say this enough this morning, but it bears repeating. He was born to bring you joy in abundance through a personal relationship with Him. It all starts there. Don't be satisfied with the stuff of joy. It will just escape you again. It will flee, and you'll be left empty. Come to the source of joy. That's never happened for you. I invite you to pray following my words this morning. Lord Jesus, I have really, really searched hard for the stuff of joy, and I'm tired. And I'm very much attracted to the news that you came to bring great joy, not to condemn sinners like me, but to save us, to save me. So I invite you right now, because you, 33 years after your birth, suffered and died, you took the judgment and condemnation that I deserved for my sin. So I invite you to apply that to my life. The forgiveness and a relationship with you that will yield joy and so much more. I pray these words now in faith that I would see the fruit of what I've just prayed. In Jesus' name.